This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
How are you doing this week, Tim?
I'm hungover today.
Me too. Me and you hung out last night with an old buddy of ours that neither of us had seen in a while, Jerry, and we had too much to drink.
The three of us don't really drink or go out or do anything.
No.
And we
were out to 9:30 last night.
When I got home drunk, and not even too drunk, but yeah. I'm still very hungover from it. But like, I walked in the door at like 5 after 10.
Yeah,
it's pathetic.
It is pathetic. I thought you were pathetic.
Like I still got like 8 hours of sleep, and I just woke up still.
I didn't even feel like I got that drunk, and I've been hungover all day, which is some kind of curse.
Let that be a lesson to the other middle-aged men out there.
Be careful.
Yeah, even a few beers can ruin your whole week.
Yeah, you got to, keep drinking so that you don't get hungover by just having a few beers.
Just never stop?
Just keep drinking.
That's probably the...
I'm having my second beer tonight right now, and let me tell you, I feel better. Feel better already.
And Tom, let me tell you, you look great too.
I can feel it. I can feel I'm sweating all the toxins out.
How are you doing this week, Tom?
I'm doing good, although I had a tricky situation today that I'd like to know what you would have done.
Ooh, I specialize in tricky situations, Tom.
Well, in this case, I hadn't
created sticky situations, but we won't get into that.
In this case, I hadn't caused the tricky situation, which I feel like you are good at getting yourself into.
I'm always getting myself into scrapes.
Yeah. It's usually just like a meaningless shoplifting that you're doing. That's
it's a compulsion.
It's like you're stealing things you don't need,
yeah,
and that you could easily
alive.
Afford.
Yeah,
you know, candy
it's
bars.
It's not about that, Tom.
Yeah, it's the thrill of stealing.
Yeah, it's part of that. It's partially just like I need to do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the sticky situations I was referring to. The time you forgot about it, and all the chocolate melted inside your pants.
That was quite a sticky situation that I did not do a good job extracting myself from.
So here is my tricky situation. Tim, you know what alternate side of the street parking is.
Oh, God. Are we going to get into that? Okay. Yes, I do.
You explain it for maybe people that don't live in a city that has this stupid...
In New York City. I don't know how other cities do it.
Some do, some don't. That's my guess.
There is... street parking. You can park your car on the street in parking spots.
However, the side of the street?
Yes.
Although most people don't seem to follow that.
However, once and in some areas twice a week, you have to move your car. There are 2 hours usually where you cannot park your car on that side of the street. So
because a street sweeper is going to come.
Ostensibly, that's the excuse.
They do come.
Sometimes.
By me, they come all the time.
Okay, well, then I've noticed the very sparkling, clean streets.
Well, thank you. I pay out of pocket to get them to come a few extra times a week.
So, essentially, for a couple hours, one day or 2 days a week, everybody... on one side of the street, on a certain area of blocks, has to move their car at the same time and can't be parked there.
Yeah.
And then everybody has to move them back. So parking, figuring out your parking for the week, especially if you don't drive your car every day, it turns into some strategic
game. You've got to keep track of where it is. Because also, you don't want to be moving your... If you can't park between 12:30 and 1, or 12:30 and 2, you don't want to be moving your car at 12:30, because guess what?
Every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the goddamn city's doing it at that time.
Yeah, so you can't... Well, not in the city, just maybe on a couple of blocks. But but you can't find a spot, because everybody is in the same situation. So you have to move it ahead of time. So what I do, I know people are probably... Take out your notebooks. You want to know what I do?
Tom's guide to
for
life.
Alternate side is usually, it's Monday, Thursday, and Tuesday, Friday, and Wednesday is a free day. You don't have to. Nobody has to move their car then. Is if you're in a Tuesday spot, this is the ideal situation. You're in a Tuesday spot on Sunday night. Monday comes along, right? As soon as it's over, say alternate side's over at 2, maybe 15 minutes before then, you move your car to there. And now you've got until Thursday.
Right.
And then you do the same thing again on Wednesday. You move, you just kind of stay one step ahead.
Yeah. Don't worry about the detail. This is like Tenet. The movie Tenet.
Tenet.
Just follow the emotion of the story here.
Yeah.
Just strap in, enjoy the ride here. Don't get bogged down in the details. I'd say this alternate side story is definitely on par with the Christopher Nolan film Tenet.
Maybe that's what his next movie is going to be about. Maybe all these other things have been a warm up to trying to explain how these rules work and the best way to work around them. Now, however, the I guess failsafe, the backup, is that if you fail to move your car and you can't find a spot, they won't ticket your car as long as you're sitting in it.
They don't make you nominally move it if they come by?
No.
But doesn't that impede the
street sweeper
from doing their
job? Mm-hmm.
And then you're paying on both ends at this point.
What do you mean I'm paying on both?
You're paying the street sweeper to come around.
Oh, me personally, yeah. Well, I only do it on the side of the street I'm not on. but that's like, you know.
So you go out and sit in your car. You have to essentially start the engine of your car and idle. So at any given time, there's a lot of cars just idling, just for no reason spewing toxins into the air in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it gets canceled out by all the trucks doing it, though. It's something to do with diesel and unleaded gas. I can't get into the details. That's for another episode. But so I was in this situation today. I had to sit in my car because I screwed up and I forgot to move it. So it sucks. I go out there with, a book. And
harmonica.
I come up with a blues song about having to sit in my car out there for 90 minutes. But so today it's happening, and it's right outside my apartment building, which is great. Like, I can connect to the Wi-Fi sometimes, even it's close enough. But there's a guy in the car in front of me, and I recognize him as a guy that I see that lives across the street.
Nah, I was hoping to be a celebrity. I recognized him as acclaimed actor George Clooney.
No, Tim, I don't live in that kind of neighborhood. I assume he lives in a very austere neighborhood to go along with all of his charitable
But he's still moving
endeavors.
His car. For alternate side,
he's
every week.
Still, hey, stars, they're just like us. But so I'm sitting there. This guy's in his car, and he comes out, and he's like looking at me. And at first, I think he's mad at me for something.
Whenever anybody
that's my default assumption. If somebody's looking at me, they're mad at me for something I did. But then he comes over, and I roll down the window, and I'm actually
ask you for some Grey Poupon.
No, that would have been awesome. No, but I had my laptop with me. I was actually doing work, and he's like, "Hey, I'm going inside. If they come around, can you just honk the horn or something?" And I go, "Yeah." And then he leaves, and I go, "Why did I agree to that? What?" And now I spend the next fucking hour, instead of doing work, like having to keep one eye out because his car is right in front of mine. It's bigger than mine, so I can't see past it.
Right.
But from what I can see, there are no other cars between the corner and this car. So if a traffic cop comes to ticket, they're going to... I'm not going to get any warning. I'm not going to see him until he's writing the ticket out for that car.
Yeah.
And also, honk. People are honking all the time. It's the city. And then if I'm honking, is the traffic cop going to be mad at me for honking the horn?
you're very concerned with people being mad at
you. Yeah. But mostly it was just now I have to keep an eye out because if I don't and this guy comes back out and there's a ticket on his windshield, because sometimes that happens where I'm like working and I don't even notice until I leave. Oh, shit. The car in front of me and behind me both have tickets.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice the guy come by, but he saw me and just kept walking.
That is an asinine rule. Also, by the way, like, oh, there's a guy in the car wasting his time. Well, you're exempt from a ticket.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, I think, just that...
It's the assumption, hey, but when the street sweeper comes, you're going to get out of the way, right?
I don't think they give a shit one way or another, the people writing tickets. Why not give the ticket? Because then they're going to have to get into a confrontation with
somebody. They don't want
a
guy mad at them.
Yeah, exactly. Because then the guy, most of the time when people are mad at them, they're long gone by then.
Yeah.
But if they have to, like, actually give you a ticket, like, if you start giving me a ticket, I would be like, all right, I'll leave.
Yeah, you could just drive away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would just go around the block and come back.
Run them over.
But...
Nobody's tried that. If someone's giving you a parking ticket, run them over.
But what should I have said to this guy? Because also it's like, well, wait a minute, pal. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, hold on. You know what? I'll go inside. You sit out here and you honk if he comes. Why do you get the privilege?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't have to say yes. But that's a pretty big ask.
Yeah.
Do you think that guy had to poop real bad?
Here's the thing. I also thought, like, oh, he's going inside for 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that, no problem. Yeah, if you got to poop or whatever, go do it. No problem. I'll honk if he comes. But no, an hour later, the guy just never came back.
That's the thing, Tom. I bet he had, in his mind, an intention. Like, I'm going to come back in five or 10 minutes. I have something to do inside that's urgent. And then he got a taste of the sweet life. And he's like,
yeah.
Well, I got Tom Reynolds out there. Working for
me. Yeah, he's probably watching me through the window laughing, drinking a glass of champagne.
Exactly. He's like, I don't need to come back out there. What am I going to
do? That's for suckers like that idiot.
This guy was too much of a coward to say anything except for, yes, sir, of course.
Oh, absolutely, sir.
So, like, what am I doing rushing back out there to sit like a jackass?
If a traffic cop comes, I'll try and take his gun, sir.
Depending on the way that it was asked.
Yeah.
I think I would have done what you did, but I think I would have also been like, yeah, although I might have to run at some point.
Yeah.
So like,
I'll do my best, but don't count on me.
Yeah, exactly.
In retrospect, I was also thinking that I could have been like, yeah, you're coming back, right? And if he was like, oh, no, then I'd be like, well, I can't promise I'm going to watch your car for an hour.
Also, what is this guy doing? Like, what is the plan here, right? He's in his apartment. Is he on the first floor?
I think so. And literally, like, his door, he walked 10 feet into his apartment.
So you are keeping an eye out. If you see any kind of cop car come, you immediately start mashing the horn.
No,
is that what he expects?
I don't think so. Because, like, you see them coming, they walk, you know, the traffic cops.
Okay. But, like, so him, he's in his apartment doing the important business that he's doing.
He's private.
And he hears beep, beep, beep. And he's like, that's Tom Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then he, sprints out?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
because that's the other thing.
I don't know that this plan, even executed to perfection, would spare him a ticket.
I mean, that's the other thing that I'm thinking the whole time. Like,
and then is he going to blame you?
If I see them five cars down, I could honk and you could come out. Sure. But there's no guarantee of that. Yeah.
You gotta recognize a hunk.
Right. We hadn't agreed on like a pattern of hunks.
Yeah, that's what you should have asked him.
But then a lot of people do that just for fun.
And does your horn do different tones like that? No, like different notes.
I have an extra horn in the car that I keep though that's tuned a little different.
You should have made it really annoying for him. You should have just been like, yeah, but we're gonna need a secret honk, right? So what should it be? And it can't be just something novel. They can't be shaving a haircut two bits, because like some people do that for fun anyway.
You can't do this is serious business, like cucaracha either, because sometimes it's
problematic these days.
But they sell those horns that do that.
They do, but if Tom, if you're ringing that horn, if you're honking that horn in 2023, something's wrong here.
What if I just had a auga, auga?
I mean,
one of those.
Yeah.
I should have just kept honking the horn, and then every time he came out, be like, I'm sorry, false alarm. I thought that dog was a police dog.
You should have kept honking the horn and then pretending like you didn't honk the horn, or deny honking the horn whatsoever.
That wasn't me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You came out here. Yeah, I heard that too. Some other guy honked.
All right. All right. Now, if this happens again, I feel more comfortable. I've got a few different options in my quiver that I could pull out, aside from just saying, I don't want to do that. No thanks. Or just not rolling my window down in the first place.
Or you could have just been like, I'm working. I might miss it. I might be bad at this job that you're asking me to do.
But then what if he's like, oh, were you an idiot? Then what am I going to say? Yes.
Hey, my mama always said, stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah. Oh, and then he'll be so embarrassed that he got so owned.
He got gumped.
Well, Tim, speaking of Hollywood.
Speaking of Forrest Gump himself.
We're not speaking of Forrest Gump himself.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. He's a Hollywood actor, Tom. He's on strike.
Yeah, but you're talking about the man Forrest Gump. He's not a Hollywood actor. I'm sure Forrest Gump has a SAG card through some crazy shenanigans.
That didn't happen in the movie, huh?
Him getting a SAG card?
Yeah, well, no. You would think they'd be like, he wandered onto the set of The Godfather, told Francis Ford Coppola, you should make this about the mafia, because it wasn't going to be a mafia movie or something.
You should tell him to take the cannoli.
It seems to me he's making an offer.
I don't think he can refuse that offer. all right. Yeah. Calls the writer over. Yeah, they should put that in Forrest Gump.
No, you would think there'd be some Hollywood aspect of it, right, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they need to put in how Forrest Gump gets a SAG card.
They maybe not get a SAG card, but the WGA would be relevant to our...
Do you think Forrest Gump can write?
I think he can dictate.
That's true. Yeah, he dictated that whole story to different people on the bus stop.
Yeah. Well, they weren't. He was just telling a story. He was just talking.
Yeah, but they made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
His narration.
Good on you, Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, whoever was sitting there and audio taped that conversation. Yeah. Good thinking. Tim, we're talking about Hollywood and the strikes. That hurt my throat when I did that.
All these lazy bones who all don't want to work.
Multimillionaires. They got the lives of God. Himself. And they just don't know. That's not our stance on this. Meanwhile, nice guys like Bob Iger, they're trying to help everyone, trying to entertain everybody.
Yeah, just trying to take home tens or sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars in 1 year.
But they're the ones that really care about art. Bob Iger. That's why he's in it. That's why he came back. It wasn't because they gave him even more money. Anyway, Tim, we're talking about...
Unequivocal support for the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. Even though I have come to...
Did you say SAG-AFLAC?
Yeah, why? The duck, right? Duck's on strike. I haven't seen... Have you seen the duck on TV lately?
Yeah, I guess the duck is on strike. Yeah. That's the only way to explain it. Continue. What were you saying? Unequivocal support, but...
Even though, lately, you know this, I've come to the conclusion that it's silly that made-up stories and people pretending to be things captures my imagination. I'm embarrassed that I love the movies and TV.
Yeah, you think it's silly and frivolous.
Yeah.
You're but like, you know what? Like some late 18th century industrialist.
Yeah, but a union man, Tom. We're supportive of the union.
Yes. What is it? Since the first time since 1960, I think, that both are on strike at the same time?
Yeah.
And now the writers were previously on strike, what was that, 2007, 2008?
Yep.
And the actors, when were they last on strike?
Oh, that's...
I think it was 1980. I think it was a while ago. I think they came close more recently.
Yeah, I think so.
Or were on strike maybe for a short time, but it got resolved pretty quickly. But this time, doesn't seem like it's going to be resolved anytime soon.
Now everybody's digging in their heels. Yeah. The AMPTPA...
Something like that. AMPTP, which represents the producers, represents the studios.
American Motion Picture and Television Producers.
That's
Association probably, of, probably not American. So,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It might be American, because I mean, I know at least SAG. Because
these colors don't run.
Well, like SAG and the WGA are specific to America, right. And not specific to Americans. You can be part of the union if you're not an American, but it's supposed to mostly...
Work being done in the good old US of A.
Yes, because there's... You know, it's one of the... we'll be dissecting this... Over the next, 5 hours?
Yeah, this strap in, folks.
But one of the things I was reading about was...
alternate side talk for 15 minutes, and then
five hours going line by line through union negotiations, going through both proposed contracts. The union in the UK, Actors Equity, apparently... legally is not allowed to strike at the same time as SAG.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. It seems like they are not, like, I read a statement that they put out that was basically like, you know,
sorry.
Legally we cannot tell people, because actually it was like I guess they had to put out, it seemed helpful. It seemed like they were probably getting inundated with this, questions from people like, okay, if I'm SAG, but not Equity, but I'm in London filming something, what am I supposed to do? And they basically put out a statement like laying out all the different situations where they couldn't help you. They couldn't back you. So they were like, no, they can fire you if you don't show up for work here,
right?
Because you're not allowed in this situation. You're not allowed to strike. Show up to work, please. If you don't, they'll fire you, and there's nothing we can do to help with that.
Right.
Confusing.
Very confusing.
Yeah, why there would be that kind of law. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, some big...
Margaret Thatcher. That's what that was the... Somebody mentioned that on social media this week,
yeah?
That law, and somebody was like, well, I'm dancing on Margaret Thatcher's grave.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that,
maybe.
That
I don't know. I blame most problems in my life on Ronald
Thatcher.
Reagan.
No, but I mean, she was fiercely anti-union, so it wouldn't surprise me. But it seemed like this law, I guess there are a lot of different industries that it could cover.
When we were growing up, Tom,
mm-hmm.
was the prevailing... sentiment that we were kind of exposed to, that when those air traffic controllers went on strike and Reagan just came and like fired them all,
yeah,
that was a good thing. I feel like we like learned that in school.
Yeah. I don't know if they specifically said it was a good thing, but I'm sure they didn't say it was a bad thing. I mean, and that's the kind of thing that like you know, Reagan and his supporters held up as like, look at this guy. And I believe he was the president of SAG when they were on strike in 1960.
He was.
So like, you know, yeah, he's a scab.
But probably had a lot of weird, scabs, like, too. Especially like very these old. Days. I feel like if like air traffic controllers were like, hey, we're keeping the skies, keeping all these planes from crashing into each other in the skies. We're like, we need better working conditions. The American public would be more sympathetic.
Yes, I would hope so.
Even though we're like more fiercely anti-union than ever in the U.S. And tide's turning.
I think the tide is turning. You know, I've seen people point out that like the tide seemed to be turning for years, where people are coming around and realizing the benefits of unions and unionizing workplaces. I guess that's where the tide's turning. That's where we hear a lot more about like Amazon workers trying to unionize and hearing about how awful their conditions are.
Yeah.
Specifically. And then learning like, oh, like big corporations, they try and stop these people from unionizing, and they're not allowed to. They're not supposed to do that. It's illegal. Or at least to, like, you know, there are plenty of legal ways they can try and stop it, but they try everything they can. Because it works out for them. Like, you know, it's their bottom line.
Jeffy Bezos. Yeah. So it's going to work out for him.
And, well, and all these companies always come out.
John Starbucks.
All these companies always come out and they're like, no, if you unionize, we won't be able to do that. We're looking out for your best interests. It's like, well, if you were, then they wouldn't be looking to unionize. Like, you have to be an idiot to believe that, like, oh, all of a sudden, no, they got the message. They said they're, you know, it's like an abusive relationship. No, you said things are going to be different this time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're telling me things are great. So who am I to argue?
So let's talk about the reasons behind this strike.
Yeah, the nanny.
No, that's not what...
I mean, the nanny was like, everybody stop working.
Fran Drescher is currently the president of SAG. So one of the things I love about SAG is like the president's usually somebody pretty famous, like not an A-list actor, but
no,
like
before her,
actor.
Before her, it was like somebody, it was Andrea from 90210, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And wasn't Mr. Feeny the...
Oh, was he?
I think he was.
Well, now you're saying, yeah, well, that does trend A-list.
No, but it's always like, it seems like it's often, you know, TV actors who are like people that have been working for years and years and years. And yeah, it's just interesting seeing somebody like Fran Drescher up there.
You're from, like, the TV. And yeah. Like, yeah, of course, that because that's what the job that they're representing is.
Yeah.
The people on the TV.
And hey, look, you're back on the TV now.
Yeah. Oh, the it's nanny's like plan. Oh. She's been walking around for the last 5 years pitching this nanny reboot.
Yeah,
no takers.
Sudden,
and then she's like, well, I know how to get back in the spotlight.
Yeah, they'll do one of those reboots where it's like, this time the nanny's a reality TV show.
I haven't seen 1 minute of the TV show The Nanny.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have. It used to play on reruns all the time.
Who are you, a guy from the who was born in freaking the 40s?
What?
It used to play on reruns all the time.
Yeah. That's how we say it, Tim. And look, if they go back to playing things on reruns, then we'll solve all these.
Born in the 40s, probably like born in the 20s.
All these, they didn't have reruns back then,
well,
Tim.
No, well, then they're born, maybe not when they were a baby.
They didn't have reruns for a long time because famously in Back to the Future in 1955, he says they saw a Honeymooners episode on a rerun, and his uncle, who's a little kid, goes, "What's a rerun?" They never had heard of it before.
Back to the Future, it's not airtight, Tom.
Well, they got everything right about what 2015 would be like.
You know, that pisses me off.
What?
When people judge movies like, the movie isn't good because like it incorrectly... You know, that's not what 2015 was like.
It's like they knew that. They just want to make it fun.
Yeah, they were making a movie, not trying to predict the future.
Yeah. They were like, what would be more fun, having flying cars or just everybody looking at their phones all the time?
Being sad.
Yeah. Depressed. Yeah, being sad about everything and everything just kind of generally sucking. Nah, how about this? You can get a dehydrated Pizza Hut pizza. You put it in the Black & Decker rehydrator. You got a delicious pizza in no time.
That pizza in that movie looks so good.
It did look so good. And then they like pull it out. But that's because they had that cross promotional deal. Because remember, you could go to Pizza Hut and get the glasses. The Back to the Future 2 glasses that looked awesome.
Tom, yeah. Did you get them?
Yeah, I got them.
Yeah, I got them too. I didn't see the movie in theaters. I was just a fan of the glasses.
I saw the movie in theaters. And I remember being so upset because I was like, oh, man, Back to the Future 3. Like, we'll have to go see that one. And I think my dad was like, nah, one and done. And I had to read the novelization. And the novelization was obviously written before the second movie was shot because they were shot together. So it, like, had inaccuracies about what had happened prior. Very confusing. I should have read the second part novelization, then the third.
Well, I haven't seen an episode of The Nanny, Tom. It just didn't appeal to me.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tim, we were going to get into why they did this. Why'd they do this? Why'd they stop making movies? I love movies. And TV shows, come on. I love TV shows. Keep making them.
Yeah, put The Sopranos back on.
Yeah. Tim, there's a few big reasons why. I think, actually, like, both unions are going on strike for very similar reasons, it seems like.
Yeah, well, the whole entertainment industry completely changed.
Yeah, got upended.
Yeah, in the last few years, with all these streaming services.
Yes. Well, and hilariously, well, not so hilariously, because it didn't work out well. When the last time the writers went on strike, it was because of, like, Mobisodes.
Yeah.
It was because studios were just getting into putting stuff online, putting stuff on the internet. And, I mean, I'm joking about there was, like, a very specific, like, year or two where every show, I specifically remember Lost and 24 and The Office all having Mobisodes.
Mobile episodes.
Yeah, which were meant to be watched on your, like, Nokia smartphone. It would probably cost you, like, $48 in data. No, but they had them on websites too, or webisodes they would call them. And it was like, you know, I don't know, a 5-minute thing, usually with like a minor character that they had their own storyline. And the weird thing is, I remember this being a big thing and kind of thinking like, it doesn't seem like anybody wants this. Anybody likes this.
The shows that I loved that did it.
Yeah.
I was never like, well, let me get to Nokia phone so I can
yeah.
see the adventures of Stanley on The Office.
Yeah. Well, because you knew, like, this isn't going to be canon. They're not going to require that you have watched.
Well, when Lost did it,
yeah.
like, Suckers. Not me so much, but you for yeah. sure. You were like, it's all part. We're going to need to know this.
Uh-huh.
There are clues there. None of this is going to make sense unless you've seen all the Mobisodes,
yeah.
unless you've seen all the Webisodes, unless you've read the book Bad Twin cover to cover.
Maybe they're going to reveal what is actually going on with everything, tie it all together in episode 5 of the Mobisodes. And instead of their, you know, top-rated network TV show. But the issue was that they were having writers, of course, write these things, or having non-union writers write these things, because
oftentimes it was writers' assistants that would that'd be their way to, like, flex their muscles
and
get into it. It'd be, like, an assignment for them.
Yeah, and it was stuff that the current contract the WGA had at the time did not envision this idea, so yeah. it did not cover
that wasn't
this.
The sole reason. There was also, like,
but that was
royalties for DVD sales, which were big at the time as well.
Yeah, that was a big one. But the Mobisodes was big just because they knew, like, oh, this is going to get bigger.
At some point, if they don't have to adhere to the standard agreements for
yes.
this type of content, they're just going to be like, well, why don't we make it all that type of content?
Yeah.
And then they essentially freaking did it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They agreed to... like a pretty shitty streaming deal. I don't think it was even called streaming yet, because at the time there was not a way to monetize that kind of content.
When did Netflix streaming come out? And were the writers and everybody in Hollywood like, well, they're only just going to have that one Zach Galifianakis stand-up special and like two weird direct-to-DVD movies on
yeah.
Netflix instant forever.
And then Lillehammer showed up. No, but that
Little Steven.
Little Steven showed up. It wasn't envisioned as something that would make money, and that was the studio's argument. Like, this is promotional material. These are commercials for people watching the show, which for that specific type of content, sure, they were right. They were always like, those things were sponsored by Verizon or something. There was money going around and not going to the people actually making this shit. But they did not seemingly...
I mean, these freaking Mobisodes with like, hey, on the island from Lost, have you ever wondered what the extras in the background, what their inner lives were like?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, wow, what a great advertisement. I better check out Lost, the TV show now.
Right. But
never considered watching that.
Yeah, I mean, but you could argue like it. Oh, it's for the diehard fans, and it'll keep them diehard fans.
Yeah.
What? But my bottom line being, they did not anticipate Netflix and all these streaming services. Netflix, I think started maybe around that time or 2008, but. When they did come out with Lillehammer, it was like, what? They're making their own content. And for a while, it was just kind of...
What, they cast the worst actor on The Sopranos in the lead role?
So, obviously, they're not serious about this. But then they got serious, and they've been able to make all this shit under...
You were like, hey, guess what? They hired my hero, and the rest is history.
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
Not my hero, to be clear. I just knew who Tim would have been referring to.
No, you liked his performance in Beyond the Sea, the Bobby Darin story.
I don't think I know that.
Kevin Spacey at the height of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Oscar winner. You know, in like a string of like really successful movies. He's like,
yeah.
I'm going to write, direct, produce, and star in, I'm 45 years old, a biopic about Bobby Darin.
How old was Bobby Darin when he died?
I don't know how old he was when he died, but the movie was like, when he sang Splish Splash, he was 22 years old. And you see Kevin Spacey like, Splish Splash, I was taking a bath.
I don't think I knew about this. Yeah. Now I am curious to see this. It sounds awful.
Yeah. I even think it was one of those things that like, sounds awful. Let me, and then you're like, oh, this is going to be
boring.
It's
like too bad.
Yeah,
to, yeah.
Exactly.
They've been making shit under this crappy agreement for all these Netflix and Prime, where they don't, the royalty structure is, or the residuals are way different. That basically for movies, TV shows, whenever a movie would come out on DVD and people bought those DVDs, a TV show or a movie would air on network TV or cable TV, actors would get checks and writers would get checks. They would get a percentage.
Somebody's making money off of the thing that they made.
Yeah.
They should get money for that.
I should get some money from that too, because I was a very important part of making this thing.
And me, the viewer, I should get money too. Because sometimes I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm watching it and it's like, oh, I don't see how it ends. And it's like, well, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Well, send me a couple bucks.
You can call them
me.
And they'll send you, they'll compensate you. They'll send you money back.
Bobby Darin died at age 37, by the way.
Yeah.
That's tragic. All
I know, but I thought he died like before he was the age Kevin Spacey was at that time.
Yeah.
But what was I saying? Where was I going with this?
About residuals.
Oh, residuals. So, I was saying...
I'm not actually sure, because I was looking up Bobby Darin and
I could tell. The thing with residuals is, even if... Because I said, I was an important part of this. Sometimes people weren't an important part of it. They were barely in it. Maybe they had a line or two. But the thing was, it was played so many times, and so many people saw it, that even if they were like, all right, we'll give you, 1 cent for every person that watched this year, that would add up to a decent chunk of change. And that does not happen with the streamers. They do not pay any. They pay some residuals, but they also, their big thing is none of them want to give their numbers out, their viewer numbers.
Yeah.
Which they would have to in order to figure out what, I mean, they don't want to pay residuals either. But they also especially don't want their actual numbers out there, presumably because a lot of them are worse than what everybody thinks.
I think it's
thinks.
Also a mix of things, right? Like where
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
true. It's probably different in every
if
situation.
If you have a Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, like, number one, they probably don't want you to know how few people watched
something they spent a ton of money on.
Yeah, and they certainly don't want the producer or somebody or a director, somebody who worked on a shit reality show and made no money
to know, like,
to know
oh,
that it is by far the most successful
700
show.
Million people watch
yeah,
this
exactly.
around
be
the
like,
world.
You should pay me for that.
Yeah, I got paid $5,000 for that whole season, and yeah, it was, and more people watched this than whatever.
The Scorsese movie you paid $200 million
exactly,
for.
Which I'm sure happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, one thing's more expensive and one thing presumably people are going to be watching for much longer. Well, I'm not going to get into an argument of why Scorsese.
Hey, people are always watching The Irishman for much longer.
I watch
right?
The Irishman, Tim, I swear to God, every night. Every night before
wow.
I go to bed.
Swear to God on that one.
Yeah, I love it. It's a good
just like wind down for the, it's, you yeah, know, it's,
it,
it
settles me for the night.
Yeah, it's something you don't have to think about too much.
Well, here's one of the, because you would think, well, don't these actors know going into this, like they're not going to get residuals? And the answer is yes. And if you're a famous actor and a powerful actor, you can negotiate that up front. So like some of these actors have gotten insane paydays And like anything, you know, you're Chris Hemsworth and you're making some shitty action movie for Netflix, you're not going to get residuals. So you might say, well, my normal fee is $15 million, but because I'm not going to get any residuals, I want $30 million. And they might say, yeah, okay. And then you might know, like, oh, yeah, and then 500,000 people watched this movie. They lost a ton of money. I wound up ahead. Maybe something does become a huge hit, and they're like, ah, I would have made a little bit more, but I'm still okay. But for...
So what you're saying is try to be successful.
Try to be very successful. Then you can negotiate. No, but that's the problem, that not everybody's successful, and they don't have the power to negotiate.
And not
these...
by any... The whole profession is a crapshoot because like so much is dependent not just on you and your performance. Any number of things can go wrong on a production. So if you're lucky enough to get some work, hopefully something will be a hit, and that should the success of that should be able to carry you through fallow periods or things where like productions didn't come together and something wasn't a success. It's not like a, hey, you get paid once for something, and that, like, that's just not the kind of job it is.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people that I mean, and how many
as people? A thespian myself, Tom.
Wow.
I'm well versed in the acting the career
the
of
game.
An actor.
Well,
you're trivializing it by calling it a game, Tom. It's a sport.
There's, I want to say, 160,000 members of SAG. Maybe it's 140,000, but it's a lot. And, you know, if you think like, okay, you got Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney, Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer
Aniston.
Garner, Jennifer Aniston.
All the Jennifers.
We could be here all day with the Jennifers.
Yeah.
Even if we spent
160,000.
160,000. Tim, even if we spent all night.
95,000 of them. Jens.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there you go. If you want to set your kid up for success in Hollywood, name them Jen. But, well, only to their friends. Jennifer. Their professional name. But
don't talk to me about Jen Aniston's friends.
Even
Tom,
if we're
even wacky bunch.
Even if we were here all night naming every SAG member we know, Tim, we wouldn't even crack I bet we could maybe get 1,000. But
do you think we could get to 1,000? We got 5 hours, Tom.
Okay. Well, I guess you're right. No, but my point being that the vast majority of SAG members are working actors.
Right.
They are people either just getting by or like doing okay for themselves by working their asses off. Especially nowadays, it's like, well, the only way you can get like a middle class living as an actor or like even lower upper class living is by working your ass off. Because you're not going to see residuals on most of these things.
How much money do you think Steven Root has?
Not enough. I'll tell you that much.
For our finest
I think
man.
He probably... But I think that's probably a good example that I bet he's probably like, oh, I made more money off of news radio than anything else I've done in my career because that was playing on reruns for a long time. And I got residuals from that because they, you know, was playing on local affiliates and I would get, you know, a few cents every time it played or a dollar or whatever. I don't know I don't know how HBO works because I was, he's not a lot of HBO.
Yeah. And that's not TV.
It's not TV. It works completely differently. So a lot of these actors for a long time, what they relied on was residuals. So that, you know, there was like a base level of income coming in, for people. And even if it wasn't enough money to live on, you know, there's multiple, grades between making a living as an actor and making absolutely nothing as an actor.
Right.
And if you make $25,000 a year off residuals, well, then that's enough to, you know, maybe you've got some savings or maybe you only have to work part time so you can still go to auditions. it's going to be a little bit easier for you. And then some people made tons of money off residuals. And then also a lot of people, they're old, they can't act anymore, but they get residuals, and you have to get, I think it's like somewhere around $24,000 a year you have to make as an actor to qualify for healthcare.
Right.
And they were saying, because residuals and reruns and everything have gone away, that there are, you know, these elderly former actors in their like 80s and 90s that are losing their healthcare because they don't make enough money anymore to qualify. So that's the big thing they're fighting about.
Yeah, it's bad. You know what? The picket line seemed fun.
Yeah, it was full of A-list actors.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to see anybody out of work. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody should get a fair deal.
Yes.
And I make a lot of jokes,
even
Tom.
The devil?
The devil, hey, the devil should get his due.
Well, you'd be...
I heard he went down to Georgia, and there was a whole fiddle competition, yeah. And like, look.
And he lost fair and square.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all he wants. He wants a fair shift.
That's all the devil wants.
But it does seem like they're going to, you know, you got celebs there. Uh-huh. They have like theme days and stuff.
Who?
They have theme days, they did on, when the WGA mm-hmm. started striking.
Right, yeah.
They had, like, Simpsons Day.
They could come up with ideas. The actors, they were like, yeah. How about Pretty Day? We all try and look as pretty as we can.
Tom, there are ugly actors out there.
Even the ugly actors, though, you see them in real life. And
oh,
like,
you're like, oh, okay. TV.
You're like, oh, that's either a normal-looking person or a good-looking person who... But when they're on TV acting opposite, you know,
gross.
Some of these...
They make you want to throw up looking
yeah,
at them.
It's like, oh, that person's disgusting.
But look, don't you want to, like, doesn't it seem like I'd like to go on strike for a couple days mm-hmm. and then just be like, let's go march and chant and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to ask you this.
Righteous
what
indignation
do you think about,
and stuff.
I feel like I've seen people... that have gone to picket that are not in either of these unions. And that...
I kind of, like, hey, rub elbows with some
but,
celebs.
But that's what it is, right? Like, I just feel like I've seen some people do that, and they're like, you know, yeah, we gotta have solidarity. It's like, were you at, like, the last sanitation department union strike? No, you went to the one that fucking Bob Odenkirk shows up at all the time, and you see him on the news, so you could be like, oh, hi, I love Mr. Show.
Yeah, I remember at the last writer's strike, I was like walking through Manhattan, and there was a picket, and it was like all, there was like a bunch of people from SNL.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, those are people from TV.
Yeah.
It was great, yeah. Like, I was like, hey, I support the thing.
Yeah.
And of course I support the thing, but I was like, I'm never, you know, gonna yell it on the street unless, like Amy Poehler's there. And yeah. I'm like, hey, look at me.
But,
blonde lady.
You could have yelled, live from New York, and then done, and Amy Poehler. You could have done everybody that you saw and their voices.
Yeah.
That would have been nice for them.
That would have been. They would have been like, we haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, so it was nice to hear from a stranger on the street.
We haven't heard
Don Pardo yell our names in a while. But you just did like a mediocre Don Pardo impression.
Yeah,
it made us feel
comfort,
like we were back at work.
Comfort food,
again.
Yeah.
There's a few other big, that by far is the biggest one. I feel like the studios are kind of trying to distract by being like, oh, it's like AI. And these guilds just want preventative stuff about AI because they can see what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
The pipe. Pipe or pike?
Hey, either or. I think it's pike.
And they know that. Oh, if they
down
can,
the pipe is when you think you're
just,
down the pipe.
If they can scan me once and then use AI to make me and not pay me, that's absolutely what they'll do.
Yeah, and they should have learned from Tim Burton's Willy Wonka.
What about it?
Who Deep Roy? They made a copy of that guy.
What are you talking about? Who the fuck is Deep Roy?
You don't know who Deep Roy is?
No.
Well, maybe fucking...
They made a copy of him? What do you mean?
Open a book. All the Oompa Loompas were one guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This guy, Deep Roy.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that it was all the same guy. That wasn't AI that did that, you idiot.
Yeah, but it would have been if they could have at the time.
Yeah. I you know, basically it's just the writers and actors being like, yeah, I know it doesn't seem like you'd be able to do that now.
Deep Roy, he says.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you'd be able to do that now, or like the results wouldn't be as good, but you'll try it. And like for writers, at least, the thing that I've heard, which they're afraid of, which totally makes sense, is, oh, a studio will have an idea. They'll put it into ChatGPT or whatever. ChatGPT will spit out a shitty script, and then they'll just hire somebody to rewrite that shitty script into a real script. So they'll just have AI do the first draft all the time, which I absolutely they would. And like, honestly, a lot of these like big blockbuster movies probably do a better job if you were like, make a sixth Indiana Jones. It would probably be like, all right, well, we'll pull a lot more from the other. It'd probably do a better job is what I'm saying.
Did you see the new Indiana Jones?
I haven't seen it yet. Mm, I've heard mixed things about it.
Yeah.
But I
heard Harrison Ford did it.
Well, but that's the other thing that I watched. What's that guy's name? Captain Midnight. You watch his videos on YouTube. He's like a.
Yeah. I've seen him.
But he has had a very good video about around like the strikes. And one of the issues he was talking about was that Indiana Jones movie, the new one, costs like, I don't know, $300 or $400 million to make. And it just seems like all these things at this point, nobody stops and goes, we really think we're going to make all this money back? We seem like we're just throwing a lot of money at this and just praying that it becomes an Avengers Endgame, Avatar 2, billion-plus-dollar hit. But we have no reason to really believe that. Indiana Jones, huge franchise. But, you know, those movies are old and... They're not this huge must-see thing anymore.
Yeah,
the point he made was he said nobody sat back and said we're making an action movie starring an 80-year-old man. Regardless of how beloved the IP is, how much could this really make? And nobody said, you know what, we should make this movie for $100 million, and then we'll definitely make our money back.
Right, but also make sure you have Harrison Ford.
Yes.
He's the main guy.
He is the main guy. He plays Indiana Jones. I haven't seen the new one. He might be playing a different character in the new one. But the point being that like spending is just out of control. And that's why all these studios are crying.
That's because of these COVID restrictions.
All these studios are crying poverty. And it's because they're... In some cases, it's like, yeah, the studio is losing a ton of money because they're spending it on insane, you know, this Lord of the Rings Amazon Prime show that nobody watched.
Did that
watched.
Come out?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And they finished season two right before the strike ended or started. So, like, season two, they'll be able to
That's funny
put
that
out.
That came out. Did that get, like, nominated for any awards?
No. And it costs... I forget how much it was. It was the kind of price. I feel like it might have been like $1 billion for the season that each episode costs $100 million to make. And at no point did anybody go, well, how could that ever make its money back? Because it's Amazon and they'll just throw money at things. And
meanwhile, they probably gave $50,000 to make that Jury Duty TV show.
Yeah, and it was great.
And everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. Is that guy in SAG?
The main guy?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Do they let a buffoon who got
tricked?
Yeah. No. Hey, here's your SAG card. He seems like the nicest man in the world.
He does seem like the nicest. Anybody hasn't seen Jury Duty, it's amazing. And we're not talking about the Pauly Shore movie.
Yeah,
that's
also
amazing but for different reasons.
Say hello to Judge Ito.
Topical humor.
Hey, hits as hard in 2023 as it did in 1995.
The studios also aren't taking... It's so weird because they aren't taking chances on small things like that. It's like, well, let's put everything in one basket. Let's, that's what happened to Warner Brothers. They were like, let's just start making, none of our superhero movies have ever done well. And then like Wonder Woman and Aquaman did well back to back. And then they were like, let's stop making other types of movies and just make superhero movies. And let's keep spending more and more money on them until
they gotta stop letting Wacko, Yakko, and Dot make all their decisions over there.
But I mean, that's what happened with The Flash, where they spent so much money on it. It was like, this movie has to make money, and it didn't. And now people are mad that they aren't promoting the next DC movie, Blue Beetle. And it's like, they don't have money. They are out of money, Warner Brothers.
They could borrow some from their CEO.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he's gutted everything for parts, and but they're just spending way too much money on one thing, betting everything on, you know, one chip or whatever, however you do it in betting.
Yeah, betting everything on one chip. That's a seasoned gambler, right? Yeah. There.
And then when it doesn't work out, they're like, oh shit, that was all the money we had to make movies this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. They should be throwing money at, you know, a rom-com.
Yeah.
A superhero movie. A snuff film.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you place your chips on other chips or whatever the...
It just seems like they've gotten obsessed, at least with theatrical releases, with the idea of, like, hitting $1 billion in revenue. Yeah. That's, like... And it's just,
you
like...
You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're all listening to Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Well, just, but it's like...
They're like, they thought $1 million was cool, and then Justin Timberlake took them all aside and was like, $1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool?
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing the movie.
$1 billion is what he said.
Yeah, but, and I guess it's because of these executives that to them, it's like, well, if we make a movie for $50 million and it makes $100 million, well, I can't take home a $200 million payday from that. Right. But if we make a Flash movie for $400 million and it makes $1 billion, well, now there's $600 million to fool around with.
Hey, Tom.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you were trying to say serious stuff this whole time. And I was trying to remind you that this was a comedy podcast, but yeah,
you were sent in from the studios.
I don't want to lose fact of both of us are very much in support of both WGA and SAG after. And the thing
unless
is, also,
an executive's listening, you've got a job for us.
sometimes you'll see on social media, like somebody being like, you know what? Everybody's talking a big game about supporting these unions.
Yeah.
And you're not supporting them unless you cancel all your streaming services and don't go see any movies. And then somebody else comes in and is like, that's actually counterproductive. You're an idiot. And like, then everybody gets all heated going back and forth about that. So, which is why I'm just like, I'm just going to keep kind of watching TV once in a while.
Well, I know for that specifically that the unions have said we have not called for a consumer boycott.
Yeah.
I think they have actually said, like, you know, that at the very least that doesn't help. I don't know if it necessarily hurts. I don't think enough people are going to do it without
people
a call for
so
it to
angry
hurt.
Angry about it too. When like one guy is like, this is why I don't like social media.
Yeah.
Because one guy is just like, you assholes, you have to do this. And then another guy's like, you asshole, you got it completely backwards. And it's like, I trust both these guys.
Yeah, you're not crossing the picket line if you turn on your TV right now. I totally get, like, I mean, being disgusted with this whole situation and not wanting to give money to these people. That's completely valid. But I think doing that and then like posting on social media like you're a fucking hero because you canceled your Netflix subscription after the seventh time the prices have gone up. Relax.
Everybody relax.
If you like the show,
get back to work.
I'm running out of shit to watch. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can find all our social media links there. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
And you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/complete guide, where you get books, the podcast. And this week, a new book, a new week, a new book. That's not always the case. I want to overpromise, but we've read half of The Time Machine.
Bye.
Starring H.G. Wells.
Yeah, and just so, in case you didn't know, Books the Podcast is a full hour-long podcast.
Yeah, it's
an
long.
Additional
Sometimes it's longer than the
podcast.
Show. Often it's longer.
Yeah, because we also recorded after this show, and we
continue having beers. Yeah. Patreon.com/complete guide, and you get all the back episodes of Books the Podcast when you sign up to. Check it out. It's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
It's $5. I guess that's, I don't know what the prices of dirt are nowadays.
Dirt is more expensive than $5. It's cheaper than dirt. We're really undervaluing this.
I mean, there's a lot more I want to talk about. I was just getting too heated.
Yeah, go write it in your diary.
Maybe I will, Tim. I'm not part of WGA, so I can continue writing. But I was looking at.
I know you've been, Tim.
I've been inundated with work.
Been taking a lot of meetings, Tom.
I'm writing the entire next season of Yosemite right now.
That guy's fucking writing that show. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and like, remember during the writer's strike when Jay Leno was like, "Hey, write my own monologue." It's like, yeah, that's, you're not supposed to do that, asshole. Speaking of that. This weekend is San Diego Comic-Con. SAG and WGA members are not allowed to promote anything while they're on strike, which is something I hadn't really thought about, but 100% makes sense. That's even worse because a lot of times they're doing that work for free.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Comic-Con really sucked shit because, you know, it's like, I directed an episode of this TV show.
No refunds, nerds.
Yeah. But I thought you might be interested in this. I got a list of things that they are not allowed to do, SAG members.
Kissing.
Acting. Yeah, makes sense. Okay. Singing, dancing. This is on-camera work. Singing, dancing. Performing stunts, performance capture or motion capture work, piloting on-camera aircraft, and puppeteering.
Mm.
Yeah, so Tom Cruise can't be out there like, oh, just
Tom Cruise, he's trying to get waivers and stuff, right?
So there was a story that he was trying to get a publicity waiver for himself, but then I read something, and you know, maybe this is just, you know, his PR people got to him, that
Scientologists,
that, but it did make a little bit of sense that they said no, it really didn't. He was talking about other people. It wasn't for him because he's actually done with his Mission Impossible press tour, like, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's been on that press tour for months now.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh yeah,
rode a motorcycle off a cliff.
I saw a video of it online
2 years before the movie came out.
But there are a lot of other things shooting because they're independent productions, and independent doesn't mean just like, oh, it's my mom gave me the money to make this. One of the big ones, A24, they are not part of these agreements. So A24 is like multiple movies in production right now.
Because they're not part of the AMPTP.
Yes. And all they have to do is like, they get a waiver and basically it says, whatever the outcome of these negotiations, will agree to that. You know, which it seems fair, and it makes sense that you can't be like, well, we want to keep working. And then when they we don't like that. It's like, well, no, you have to agree. And for these, you know, for smaller studios, it's like, yeah, I mean, we're not going to be able to negotiate better than Disney.
Yeah. I remember during the last strike, I might be mistaken here about the details, but it was my understanding that like Letterman came back with writers before everybody else because he owned his own production company. And he was like, oh, what do you guys want? Yeah, we'll agree to all those terms. And like, basically they broke off from the and was like, No, we'll give them what they're asking for. And he cut his own deal and came back, which seems smart.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen people speculating that, like, maybe one of the, like, a streamer specifically, I've seen people say, like, Apple, because Apple doesn't have that many shows and movies.
Apple's really getting off easy on this, huh?
What do you mean?
Like, nobody's like, oh, screw you, Apple. Everybody's
and basically people were saying, like, look, they don't make that much stuff and they've got tons of money. It'd probably be like a pretty good PR move if they were like, we made our own deal and we're back in production.
Yeah, but Tim Cook doesn't want to have to, like, see David Zaslav in the, at the Hamptons and be like, oh, you broke ranks with the rich guys.
Yeah. Eh. I feel like Tim Cook's got, like, fuck you money even to somebody like David Zaslav. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't really care.
Walking down the street alone when I saw him.
I know. All right. That's it for this week. We're on strike starting next week. We'll see you then. It'll be scabs in next week. In case we sound different, that's the explanation.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.